الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من قولي We have seen the developments which are taking place after the demise of our beloved Prophet. And we have reached to the stage where Muawiyah the accursed is now on the throne as a caliph, as a successor of the Holy Prophet of the vast Muslim Empire. Things are getting bad to worse. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam is monitoring the development and doing the needful. We said that Muawiyah made a use of three grounds. One of them was the issue of culture, which was yet to be eradicated from Syria on account of it being far from Hijaz and on account of it having a governor like Muawiyah. Muawiyah exploited that avenue. So did we say that there was the issue of the community chiefs. It was the custom of that day that whenever you captivate a chief, be it on the right or be on the wrong, the rest blindly will follow. Muawiyah made use of that opportunity as well. And the third, whereby he was most successful, whereby he targeted, whereby he brainwashed them, was the issue of weak faith. People, those who were weak faith, were taken for a ride by his satanic policies. And in addition to that, there were three factors in liaison with these three grounds were being implemented. Number one was pertaining to propagation. The second was pertaining to siphoning out funds. And the third was pertaining to terrorize, threat, kill, murder. Now before I proceed, as mentioned yesterday, that as far as tabligh was concerned, as far as propagation was concerned, Muawiyah applied arts. For example, he applied poetry. Poets were hired, those poets were of high repute were hired, and they used to come in the darbar of Muawiyah and recite poetries in favor of him and to the denouncement of the Holy Prophet. Secondly, what was applied was the issue of hadith. Muhaddisin were occupied. And thirdly, what was occupied was Qari'a Qur'an. As far as propagation is concerned, these were the three main avenues which were applied. Tabligh vis-a-vis people of weak faith was most successful. I said weak faith was a curse of that time, and so is it today. I mentioned two incidences last night, and I'm mentioning a third which Maulana made a remark. I think it's worthwhile making this point as well, that how the people of Sham were, how the people of Damascus were, how illiterate in terms of religion, how simple-minded, how people with weak faith they were. Let me make a remark on this issue and then move forward very hastily. It is mentioned that after the Jung of Siffin, after the Battle of Siffin, one of the Kufians went to Damascus with his camel. When he went with his camel to Syria, to Sham, one of the Syrian came to him and told him that this camel which you are riding is a she camel and it belongs to me and I am producing 50 witnesses. The matter extended and they reached in the presence of Muawiyah. Muawiyah heard the case and he gave the decision in favor of the Syrian, that as he has 50 witnesses, the camel belongs to this Shami, to this Syrian. That Kufian, that Iraqi told to Muawiyah that this is not a she camel, it's a he camel, by the way. things were resolved. The camel went in favor of that Damascus person, of that Syrian. After the gathering had departed, Muawiyah called that Iraqi, that Kufyan, and told him that this is the amount I'm paying you. And tell Ali alayhi salam, tell Ali that I have such people to the tune of 1 lakh. If at all I tell them this is a he camel, they will agree to it. So if I tell them that this is a she camel, they will agree to it. I have them at my disposal and I will make war with the aid of these people. Whether it is she, if I tell them he, they will agree to it, and vice versa. This was the pathetic state of affairs of the Shamis on account of their staying far from Hijaz. Leave aside Sham, what about Hijaz, whereby they were the, under the tutorship of the Holy Prophet. What happened after Ghadir? Ghadir and the demise of the Prophet was 70 days. The people forgot Ghadir. What to say of Sham? In Medina, where the Prophet used to train them. In Medina and Hijaz, where the Prophet used to teach them. This development took place. What to say of Sham? What to say about the ignorance and the backwardness and the weak faith of Sham? So they were far from Hijaz, number one. And they had a ruler like Muawiyah. And not only that, Rome was besides them. And they had contacts with the Roman people. And hence it affected their culture. So this is where Muawiyah was most successful, to brainwash them as far as his evil schemes were concerned. The second thing which I mentioned as far as propagation is concerned, he applied muhaddithin. In addition to applying the shuara, he applied muhaddithin in terms of his tabligh, in terms of his propagation, to stabilize his government. Now mind you, these things should be taken, this thing into consideration, that Muawiyah is declaring himself as the successor of the Holy Prophet. That is the worst part of the thing. He is the successor of the Holy Prophet. And people with this propagation are coming to terms with it. That's the most fatal part of the whole development. Had he been doing it in his private capacity, things would have been different. But in his official capacity, whatever he does is endorsed. As far as Muhaddithin is concerned, Allama Murtaza Askari, a great researcher, in his book, A Probe into the History of Hadith, is mentioning that when Muawiyah came into power, he opened a factory of fabrication of a hadith. He employed Abu Huraira, who falsely ascribed hadith in the name of the Holy Prophet to the tune of 5,000 plus. People like Abdullah ibn Umar, people like Aisha, people like Anas bin Malik, these are the people who are employed to fabricate traditions in the name of the Holy Prophet, that the Holy Prophet has said this and this and this. This was how he was propagating, and things went on. And one hadith before I move on very swiftly. One hadith which is mentioned to show you the critical position of this issue. It is mentioned in the books that a person by the name of Sumar bin Jundab, he was called by Muawiyah, and he was paid, according to the books, 4 lakh dirhams. And he was told that this ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرُ نَفْسَ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ, which descended on Imam Ali alayhi salam, that amongst people there is man who sells his soul and earns the pleasure of Allah. He told Sumar ibn Jandab, you take this 4 lakh dirhams and make a shan and nuzul that this ayat was revealed in respect of Ibn Muljim. And he did so. Similarly, in that very same holy surah, there is another ayat pertaining to munafiqeen. Imam Ali was made a target of this ayat. Muawiyah told Sumar ibn Jandab, make the shan and nuzul of this particular ayat, which was revealed in respect of this hypocrite. It came for Imam Ali alayhi salam. And it happened. It happened. And things were reaching to very drastic terms. The hadiths were employed, ascribed to the Prophet, and he made use of this in terms of his propagation. Leaving that aside, As far as propagation is concerned, though this is not mentioned by Ayatollah Misbah Yazdi, but on referring other books, I think it is befitting to place it under Tabligh, which Mahavir employed. He created sect. He found his interest a threat. He created sects. He used religion to curb religious sentiments. So cunning this satanic politician was. He created a sect, and one of the founder of the Murji'iyah sect is Muawiyah Mal'un. What does the Murji'iyah sect propagate? The Murji'iyah sect propagates that as far as iman is concerned, as far as belief is concerned, it is just restricted to your heart. Apparently, if you act like a Jew or a Christian or an idol worship and you die with that, then you have died as a mu'min and you shall go to Jannah. In order to justify his crime, he created this sect of the Murji'iyah to justify that acts which he's doing on Ahl al-Bayt. That whatever I'm doing, inner word, inside my heart I have iman. Apparently you can see me terrorizing, killing and doing the necessary things, but I am a mu'min, because what matters as far as iman is concerned is iman al-qalbi. He created this sect to justify his crime. He created, or rather is the founder of the school of Jabr, compulsion. What does the school of Jabr propagate? Again, in order to justify his crime, he found the Shias, however in minute, were against Muawiyah. So did he find the Khawarij against his rule. So he, in order to curb them, with a very holy disguise of hypocrisy and of religious, he created the sect of compulsion. What is this sect of compulsion? The school of Jabr, which till today some of the Ahl al-Sunnah have this. The school of compulsion says that man is not free in his deeds. Whatever he performs, it was written in the taqdeer of Allah. So I'm not responsible. I am not responsible. What I am doing has been destined by Allah. He created that school of compulsion. He created that school of Murji'iyah. And he reached to far and wide measures in terms of propagation. Those people who could not come under propagation, under tabligh, those people were paid huge sums. I said the second measure employed by him was parting with huge sums. And the main target which fell into this trap was the head of the communities. Today if I tell you one gold coin, how worthful it is, one gold coin. At that time the Ruasa'ikum, the head of the communities, were given one case of gold coins. They were given posts, they were given power, they were given hidayah, gifts. As a result they came towards Muawiyah, they were bought. And as a result, remember that ground I told you, the whole community, without looking left and right, went with him. Muawiyah applied this as well. And for those people who could not be bought, terrorize, kill, plunder. To the extent history mentions, there were people buried by Muawiyah alive. Sufyan bin Auf, a general of Muawiyah, is being called by Muawiyah and is being told, Sufyan, I am sending you with hardcore criminals. These are the words in Tariq. I am sending you with hardcore criminals. You go. Go to the Euphrates, pass by. Go to Ambar. Go to Madayan. If at all you find any resistance, kill them all. Wherever you pass, whichever village you pass, plunder it, destroy it. This will create fear in their hearts. This was the third policy applied by him. But there were a few who could not be bought, who could neither be taken by propagation, nor by huge boss, nor by threat. These are known as Hawarin Ali, alayhi salatu wassalam. These people were not bought by Muawiyah. These people were trained in the school of Ali. These people were sunk in the love of Ali. Amongst them, four people were in the forefront, history tells us. One by the name of Hujr bin Adi Kindi. Second was Rashid Hujari. The third was Umaru, his name is mentioned. I don't remember his second name. And the fourth was Maitham al-Tammar. These are the people who were known as Hawarine Ali. These people were known as Ashab-e Sirre Imam Ali. Imam Ali alayhi salam told them the secrets even. They knew their martyrdom. So did they know the other people's martyrdoms. These people were in the forefront. They could not be bought by Muawiyah. As far as threat was concerned, in spite of his forceful measures, they could not be bought. And let me mention within 5 minutes and close my topic for this evening. As far as Hujr bin Adi and as far as Umaru was concerned, Rushayd Hujari and Maitham al-Tammar were killed in the latter days. But these two people were killed by Muawiyah. He found that I can't buy these people. I cannot buy these people. Neither is my tabligh affecting them. Nor are the posts affecting them. He tried his best to tempt them. But he could not buy them. As a result, he became displeased. And he knew this will earn him a bad name. But he did so. It is mentioned that this person, Umaru, which history mentions, he was killed ruthlessly and mercilessly. He was beheaded. And his head was given to his wife. And the wife, being a mu'mina, sternly replied Muawiyah, to the extent Muawiyah exiled her. This Umaru, it is mentioned, once he went to Imam Ali alayhi salam and told, "Oh my master, oh my mawla, I have not come to you on account of your worldly possession." That was the Zahir-e Khilafat. "I have not come near you on account of that worldly position, Islamic Caliphate. But I have come to you on account of your obedience being wajib on me. I have come to you because your right is great upon me. Oh master, if at all," see these people, these flowers burning in history. He mentions Umaru, that "if at all, oh my master, I was told to move the mountains and I had that capability to do so. If at all I was told to drink the water of the seas and I had that capability. And if at all I was told to fight throughout my life against your enemies, yet I could not fulfill your right upon me." Imam Ali goes to him and says, "Umaru, may my du'as be on you. If only I had 100 types of you." He killed them mercilessly. Hujr ibn Adi Kindi. Umaru was killed as well. And these two, Rushayd Hujari and Maitham al-Tammar, was killed in the days ahead on account of the love of Ali. So these are the three things which were applied. And still tomorrow we shall see more of his crimes, and that question will become all the more clear, that how did Sayyid al-Shuhada, may our lives be sacrificed for him, save Islam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.